We're going to go to the phones and say hello to Sarah. Sarah Peralt is the managing editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Sarah, it's so great to chat with you. How have you been?
I've been fantastic. How have you been?
Well, Sarah, I have been great. I hope you think as highly of our radio station as we do of the Almanac, because I am not being facetious or joking. This is one of my favorite interviews, and I can't believe it's been a whole year since we chatted with you.
Oh, that's so nice. I feel like we should like exchange Christmas cards and do that kind of thing.
Sarah, don't say it, because I will happily do that. My mom, actually, every time she goes on like a little, vacation of some sort, a cruise or anything, she does exchange Christmas cards with all sorts of random people. And I'm like, Mom, who are these people? And she can't remember exactly where she met them, but, you know, it's all good. So, Sarah, the new 2026 Almanac is out. What the heck? We're very excited to learn more about it. And I hope you have about 20 minutes to chat with us today.
Oh, for you, I've got 21 minutes.
21 minutes, Sarah. Wow. Thank you so much. So, Sarah, first of all, this wonderful periodical has endured for so many years. And I would love for you to tell us the history of the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Well, the Old Farmer's Almanac, back when it started in 1792, which is when George Washington was president, was only called the Farmer's Almanac. We had to wait a little while to become the Old Farmer's Almanac. Our founder, Robert B. Thomas, was an amateur astronomer. He was a gardener. He was a farmer. He lived in Massachusetts. Now our offices are located just a tad north in New Hampshire, but still New England. And he was really a student of nature, and he observed what was going on around him and took fastidious notes and thought, there must be something that I can do to help my business grow, no pun intended. So he worked for years to put together a formula to figure out what the weather was going to be for the coming year. And so the first year he put out 3,000 copies of his Farmer's Almanac, and the forecasts were so spot on that the following year he had to put out 9,000 copies.
Oh my
gosh. Just
to
meet demand.
Unbelievable. How was he so accurate back in the day, Sarah? Because, you know, we have so many different ways to predict weather these days, and we're sometimes off even. But how was he so successful with what he was doing? What sort of things did he utilize?
Well, it's important for me to say that we're telling you weather trends. So we're not like the evening news where you're going to find out what your high temp is going to be the next day. But we can tell you that over this week, you know, it's going to be dry or wet or things like that. But he recognized that there was some sort of relationship with what was going on with the sun and what was going on Earth, obviously more than just, you know, for growing and harvesting. So he put together his formula with three scientific disciplines, the major one being solar science, which is just basically the study of sunspots and solar activity. He was also using climatology, which is simply the study of prevailing weather patterns, so weather patterns over the past 10, 20 years. And then meteorology, which is the study of the atmosphere, which a lot of meteorologists are using. So we're still using those three disciplines to do our forecast, but obviously we have more data and technology to help it along now.
Well, Sarah, how did he get his training back in the day?
Oh, he was just a curious person, and he did go to school. I don't think he made it further than eighth grade, but he went to school, became a farmer. On-the-job training, really, is what everybody did back in the 1700s, and he just took it upon himself to read and really study, you know, ancient texts and what was going on, and he was just a smart little bugger.
You know, you wonder what he would think of the Almanac today. I mean, certainly, I'm sure you working for the Old Farmer's Almanac all these years, you are amazed at how it has endured. But can you imagine if you were the founder, what you would think of this?
If I told you that the book that you created was going to go on for 234 years, astounded.
For sure. So how does Ben Franklin rank in this, and how does he rate being on your cover as well?
Right. So the cover of our almanac has a portrait of our founder, Robert B., and then Ben Franklin, because we consider Ben Franklin to be really the father of almanacs, his most famous being Poor Richard's Almanac. So it's a nod to almanacs in general.
So not really any tie-in. And would they have been around at the same time, Ben Franklin?
Oh, now you're going to get me with history.
Oh, sorry.
I don't.
No, I'm just curious. What did you say that? Because Ben Franklin was one of our founding
He's a founding father. Oh, yes.
They would have been. So I bet they would have known each other. That's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah, maybe they worked on the forecast together or maybe not. I don't want to be spreading rumors.
Oh, I love good rumors. That's what I'm not in news, Sarah. I just like to, I have the best part of every story, and you certainly are the best part of the story. So let's talk about this wonderful periodical. It's been around forever. And why is it that people love it so much, do you think?
I think part of it is a sense of nostalgia.
Yes.
So maybe you grew up with it in your house or your grandparents had it in their house. That was my case. So then every year you see it's a new one and you think, oh, I know that little book and it has all kinds of great little fun stories and great tips for my garden and recipes, and it's something that I can keep around all year, something I can gift to people. So it's just kind of a book that's been around a long time that you can trust the information in. It's, you know, 100% human-generated text, which is important these days. And, you know, it's a comfort to have it.
You know, it really is. And it, as you said, it is something that is very nostalgic. And for a lot of people, it's something they remember from their youth. And I maybe have told you this story before, but every summer we used to go visit my aunt and uncle that lived on a farm out in South Dakota. And it was kind of a remote area that they lived. And their house was an old farmhouse, which to me was fascinating because it wasn't all one level. It was, you know, they had an upstairs and the kitchen was kind of rudimentary, but the bathrooms were even more so. And in the bathroom, it was not finished like we would think today with nice sheetrock and a nice finish. It was, you could see the 2x4s or whatever. And on one of those was a big giant nail. And on that nail, right next to the bathroom, in the bathroom, was the old farmer's almanac.
That is where it was always hung. That is where some people still keep it today.
Don't you love it? So it just really, I've always had such a fondness in my heart for the old farmer's almanac because there really is something for everybody in it. And I know that, you know, as the times have changed, obviously your content has changed, but at its core, it's just really such a wonderful magazine and informational guide for people. It just is really such a cool periodical, I just have to say. And the hole in the magazine itself, will you tell that controversy that happened a couple years ago? Because that could have derailed you, Sarah.
It could have, because we do drill that hole in the corner every year. It's part of the reason people recognize the old Farmer's Almanac, because we know there's other almanacs out there. But in the 90s, they were on some hard times, and they thought, how can we save some money? Oh, we could stop drilling the hole in the books. You know, that would save us some money because we have to pay for that. So somebody with some sort of know-how said, we should probably ask people first. So they did a little survey asking, would you mind, our loyal readers, if we stopped punching the hole in the corner? And it was unanimous. You can't take the hole out of the corner. I'm still using it. So we don't mess with tradition. We've still got that hole in there. No matter what it costs, we're going to punch the hole in there.
You know, and I think even if you don't use the hole to hang it up, I still think that you have to keep it. I mean, it is so nostalgic. That is such a funny, funny story. So as the 2026 Old Farmer's Almanac was being put together, what are some of the things that you for sure had to have in there?
Oh, one of my favorites is a story about leftovers.
Oh.
When you talk about leftovers, there you open up a can of worms. People want to know how long you keep them or how to reheat them or what's the best leftover or I hate leftovers or I love leftovers. So we've kind of broken it down into why, how, a recipe to use up your leftovers. That was one of my favorites. And my other favorite, also food-related, the prize-winning recipes from our contest last year was for tomatoes. And the number one recipe was tomato bacon jam. And when I tell you, we tested this and we tasted it and we were trying to find things to spread it on. We're like, does anybody have any crackers? Does anybody have anything? You're having a burger? Put it on your burger. Like, It's amazing.
Okay. Wow. So when you say you tested it, is that for real? You don't have the people send you their finished product? You actually do it? You actually test it too?
We do it. It's one of the best times of the year around here. We cull recipes down to probably about 12 to 15. And then we individually, yeah, we make them, we bring them in and we test them in one day. And it's a great way to have lunch and do some work at the same time.
Absolutely. So Sarah, let's hear about your background, please, and how long you have been at the Old Farmer's Almanac. You mentioned that the Old Farmer's Almanac has a soft spot in your heart as well. But how long have you been in the media business?
Well, I got right into publishing out of college, and not too long after getting out of college, there was an advertisement for where the Old Farmer's Almanac was looking for an assistant editor. Just happened to be unhappy in the job I was at and thought, I know the Old Farmer's Almanac. That's a fantastic book. I would love to work there. I was thankfully hired, and 22 years later, I'm wow. now the managing editor.
Wow, that is just such a great story. And you are located in a real wonderful part of the world. Tell us about that.
We are in Dublin, New Hampshire, which is a very small town. You blink, you miss it. There's no stoplights. There's no stop signs. It's in the southwest corner of New Hampshire. Right now, we've got a lot of visitors to the region because our foliage is just starting to turn, and it's absolutely gorgeous. We are in the Monadnock region, and we've got a mountain not too far from the office. We've got a beautiful lake not too far from the office. It's an ideal setting.
Oh, gosh, it sure sounds like it. Well, and one of my favorite things also is on your website, but I'm having a hard time finding it now. Do you still have a live view of your office?
Yes, we do. So if you are at almanac.com,
okay, I'm going to have to go there
yes,
right
scroll
now.
Scroll all the way down to the bottom. Go past the fall forecast page. Go
oh,
past
yep.
The
okay.
Astronomy.
I didn't go down
all
far
the way
enough.
Down on the bottom. You see, visit the Almanac webcam.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
I'll wave to you from my window.
Just a second. Hold on a second. Is there a time delay? There might be.
No, actually, there used to be, but there isn't anymore.
Okay, it's building here, all the way down. All right. Yeah, your falls are so lovely, aren't they, in your area of the world? I mean, I think that even people from the Midwest, that's a thing, is to go up to the Northeast and look at your beautiful fall.
Oh, yes. The weekends will start getting very busy on the highways because even us who live here want to go further north to see what's going on.
Oh, I love it. So is the Old Farmer's Almanac a very important part of the economy then in that part of the world?
You know, what's funny is that our biggest audience is in the Midwest. Thank you.
Why is that, I wonder?
It's been a mystery to me, but I'm like, usually in the Northeast, yeah, people know about it. And then Midwest is like, that's our fan base. That's where they all are. And we love you for it.
Do you think it's because we are farmers at heart here?
It could be. I mean, we say it's the Old Farmer's Almanac, but if you're a gardener, we consider you a urban farmer. If you're gardening, that's what we'll call you.
I agree.
So,
and you know,
it's not just for people who have land who can farm, but anybody who's growing anything can use our book.
Yes, and we have some wineries around here, and they will remind me, the people that own them, that they are farmers also, which I think
that's
is true. Such a cute way of thinking it. Okay, watch live. I'm pulling you up now. So, Sarah, let's get to what we really care about besides the farming part. Minnesota, come on. Minnesota.
Would that be the weather?
Oh, Sarah. Have you been here ever in the winter?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't come. I would wait until the summer. We have lovely summers, as, you know, most people do have lovely summers. Not Arizona, maybe, but our winters can be kind of harsh. So I guess that's one of the things that folks in this area are going to be most interested in is it going to be kind of a bad winter? Or we want to have snow because people right. really enjoy their outdoor activities. But, you know, all things in moderation. What's the scoop?
Well, I can say, I mean, you're in Minnesota, you're expecting winter and you're going to have winter. But what I can tell you is that your winter temperatures are going to be above normal. That doesn't mean it's going to be warm. That just means, you know, if your average temperature in January is 20, it might be 25. So it's still going to be cold. some very cold periods are going to arrive for a good portion of December and then early and late January and yet again in early February. So that's when it's going to be coldest. The snowfall is forecast to be below normal, which doesn't mean no snow, just less than you're used to, except for some really snowy conditions in late November, so right around Thanksgiving, late January, and then again in early February. So you're going to have winter, but it's going to look a little bit different.
Okay, well, I guess we can handle that. That's not terrible news.
So this is the winter I should come visit then?
Sure.
Yeah, because I don't want to come when you're having a typical one.
Oh, no. But, you know, we don't get the most snow, do we, in Minnesota as, like, let's say, upstate New York area? Don't they get a lot of snow usually?
Oh, you know what? Here in Dublin, New Hampshire, yes. We joke that we're in a snow globe because it snows almost every day. Now, it doesn't accumulate, but almost every day of the winter, it snows out our windows. We don't know. And you go down the hill. It's because of our elevation. You go down the hill, the sun's out.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like a Hallmark movie. It's just
almost,
nice
yeah.
snow, but nothing that's going to clog traffic or that kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll get those, but it's on a daily. No, it's not going to stop anything. But yeah, I got to clean my car off before I leave every night.
All right. I am looking at your headquarters. So yeah. I see the flag is on the right. And yeah. Is there a church behind you, or what is that pretty steeple?
There is a church next to the building that's next to us. We have a community center next to us, and then on the other side of that is the church.
Okay, so I see the steeple.
But if you see the front of the building, and there's these three windows right above what looks like the entrance, that's my window, and I'm waving.
Sarah, I'm waving back. Oh, you have a really nice office. That is
so
lovely. So it actually, your building, I think, reminds me of what I would envision your part of the world to look like. What is that?
New England, right?
Yeah, very New England. Is it like a salt box, that one part of it?
Yeah, and it got added on to and added on to.
I see. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so happy that you're still just loving your job as much as we love talking to you, Sarah. The Old Farmer's Almanac is out now. Do you want to tell us some ways that we can become subscribers?
You can find the almanac everywhere books and magazines are sold. It's also available at almanac.com or Amazon. If you prefer to shop local, if you go to almanac.com/where to buy and put in your zip code, we can tell you exactly where you can find it. And if you do want to become a subscriber, we have information about how to do that right in the book.
Oh, my goodness. Sarah, we so appreciate your time. You are such a good sport, and you're such a great ambassador for the wonderful Old Farmer's Almanac. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to chatting with you again in about 12 months, and we can talk about the winter that was. But if you do come to town, you always have a place in front of the KDWA microphones.
Okay, is that where I have to stay if I come? I have to stay
you know
at the
what?
Station?
You don't have to stay at the radio station. The accommodations aren't really great here. I mean, you could just
Well, not
stay.
For overnight.
Not for overnight.
Not for overnight. All right.
Sarah.
Well, thanks. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, Sarah, you're a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Our guest today, managing editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, Sarah Perrault. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You guys too.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.